Well, partner, it looks like this town ain't big enough for the two of us.
Yes, and?
It seems like one of us is gonna have to be dead. And I think that one of us is gonna be you.
Yes, and?
I'm gonna take up my gun now and I'm gonna shoot you. And if you just stand there and keep saying that, you're definitely gonna get shot.
Yes, and?
Oh, welcome to the Indie Film Review, rated number one by the Indie Film Review. Wow, what a great achievement.
That's a crazy achievement. I can't believe we made it this far.
By the people who do Indie Film Review, out of those two, 100% voted yes.
To yes. Indie,
when asked directly. When asked indirectly, they said, get out of my house. But other than that, they really liked it.
We surveyed 100 people. Name
100
something.
Of the same two people.
That you do in the bathroom.
Top five answers on the board.
Listen to the Indie Film Review.
Survey says.
Beep.
Ah, it's not on there. Beep, beep. Big red X. Hey, guys, this is the Indie Film Review. That's Dan. I'm Jared. As you can see, we like to have fun here. Oh, my goodness. And we also like to review independent films. Also
oh,
for fun.
Oh, yes. Always. Always for fun.
Yes. So today, we have a film called Phylum? The Salvation.
The Salvation.
This was suggested to us by our friend of the show, Rusty. Rusty Sixers.
Yes, Rusty.
Thank you, Ross. I was not sure at first if The Salvation 2014, it's on Netflix, if this was an independent film or not. I was a bit apprehensive. How do you feel?
I believe it is because it's IFC. IFC distributed it in the United States, so that's not necessarily the production company. But it's a foreign film, and it's a Danish film under the Zentropa umbrella.
Yes.
So it's kind of part of the Lars von Trier studio.
Whoa. I wish it had more Lars von Trier in it. Right. That would have made it really interesting. I think it is because it was made for only $10 million, which
oh, yeah. Okay. So
standards, that's very low.
We'll say like $10 million and less is an indie film. Maybe $50 million and less is an indie film. No, yeah. $10 million. We'll say $10 million and less is an indie film.
Yeah, I saw that number and I was like, okay. I mean, there's a couple big names in here. We got Mads Mikkelsen. He's awesome.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Jonathan Pryce.
Yeah. One actor I like a lot, and I don't know who he is Mikael Persbrandt, who plays the brother of Mads Mikkelsen.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why, but I liked him a lot.
He was really good.
I thought he was cool in this movie. I mean, everyone did a good job acting-wise in this film, I would say. But just as somebody I've never heard of, I'm like, oh, hey, I need to pay attention to this guy. So, Dan, how did you feel about this film?
It's weird
don't
for Westerns.
Don't fucking sugarcoat it, and don't lie to me.
It's weird for Westerns to be less than 2 hours long, I think, because there's always a lot of character development that needs to go into, you know, a typical film. And I feel like this film felt rushed, but it was enjoyable. So basically, this film, it's a revenge film. Something happens to Mads Mikkelsen's character, and
yes.
Then he shooty-shooty bang-bangs everybody. And one of the people that he shooty-shooty bang-banged was the brother of the evil man. Uh-huh. And then the evil man wants to shooty-shooty bang-bang whoever shooty-shooty bang-banged his brother.
Every time you say that, I just think of Chitty-Chitty Bang-Bang.
I know.
Now I got that stupid song playing in my head, but now it's murder.
If you want to see a film,
open your eyes.
That's just, yes, open your eyes. If you want to see a film that's just very, you know, pedal to the metal, westerny tropes, this is a fucking film for you.
This film is very classic in its interpretation of what a Western is, I feel like. But also, there's some pretty ultra-violence in it. Like, it gets...
Well, I mean, spaghetti Westerns were pretty violent, I think.
Pretty intense. A lot of implied rape in this.
Well...
If not flat-out rape.
There was... That's... I feel like that's a thing in Westerns, though.
Yeah, I guess so, because it's just horny, crazy dudes running around thinking they could do whatever, and then they get shot in the head by the good guy. And I like the pacing. I didn't think the pacing was rushed or anything. It introduces all the characters. Bing, bang, bomb. The big event happens, and then he goes on his revenge thing. And even then, it's like, at first he tries to leave.
Yeah.
And then other forces make him stay, and there's a lot to do with the townsfolk. I like how they introduced all the different townsfolk and how they became important to the story. I almost wanted more of that. I mean, like we were saying, like with a 2-hour film, we might have had a little more time for these characters to breathe a little bit. But as it was, I think it did a good job in that respect. I'd say my only big issue with the film, because everything was pretty well constructed with the film, I can't complain about any real aspect of it, is I like spaghetti Westerns a lot.
Yeah.
Especially the more, like, the ridiculous spaghetti Westerns where, like, outrageous things are, like, people are, like, shooting hats out of the sky and, like, think of, like, the most ridiculous thing you can do in a Western. I enjoy that.
Right.
And I feel like this movie doesn't get that way. Like, you don't get to see a lot of cool fights until maybe around the end of the film. The rest of it's more very realistic in how it's just like, I shoot you, you dead. You're like, all right. Like, you don't ever get to see, like, a dude shoot four guys, shoot their gun out of their hands, like, in a second or something. Like, nothing cool like that happens.
All right, so this film predates Jeffrey Dean Morgan as the infamous Negan from The Walking Dead, where he plays a ruthless person.
Oh, that's who that guy is.
Yeah, much
okay.
Like he plays in this film. He's a pretty bad dude in this film. So I guess this is, I don't know, is this like just, is this baby Negan growing up?
This is Negan with training wheels. He's trying it out. He's like, I don't know. I kind of want to be bad, but I don't know how to be bad. No, I've not seen The Walking Dead. I've watched the first season, tried to get through the second season,
yep.
And I gave up because the show seemed...
You're in the same boat as me.
Stupid.
The show is stupid, but I...
It seemed bad, and I didn't understand why people were liking it. Jeffrey Dean Morgan also, can we shit on this more? He might have been the weakest part of this film for me.
Really?
Yeah. I thought his acting was fine, but he had, like, no personality as a villain. Like, I didn't find him intimidating or
Yeah, that
cool.
did feel empty, didn't it?
He was just a nothing character. And I don't know if that was the director telling him, play him like this, or he just played him straight, like, so straight that it was just a boring arrow that hit the target, you know? Like, he had no character flaws or anything. He's just like... Well, I guess he beats women, and he's a weird rapist guy, too, but like, I mean, he, like, some
okay.
cool quirk or something to make him intimidating, besides I shoot you in the head.
All right. Are we spoiling this movie now? What's going on?
Would you recommend this movie?
I mean, if you want a nice, revenge-y shoot-em-up, yeah, sure.
If you're looking for a very standard Western, no frills, you will not be surprised, but you will enjoy it. Then yes, I do recommend this movie. If you don't like Westerns, then you stay away. This is a through and through Western for sure.
Well, okay, so let's just talk about this Negan guy some more. I mean, I'm calling him Negan. His name is Henry Delarue.
Delarue. It's a good name.
Delarue. Yeah, it's a good name. Anyway, it's implied that he beats this woman that belonged to his brother before or while they were having sex.
Yes, his brother's wife. Yeah.
So his brother dies, and then Henry Delarue takes over his brother's possessions, which would mean his wife as well. And they have a scene where, like, they had just had sex, and then the woman is facing away from the camera, and then she turns to the camera to reveal that she has a bloody nose. So what exactly is the implication here?
That sometimes she gets bloody noses, Dan.
Right, like in anime?
Yeah.
Anytime that she's near somebody that she finds attractive. Didn't it feel weird, though? Like, it was supposed to be a shocking revelation?
I got what was happening. He's He's punching her while they were having sex. He's a bad guy.
I mean, I guess.
It's because it doesn't make sense to you because normal people wouldn't do it. Like, we wouldn't do that.
Some bad people just, that's how you know. If you want to know somebody's bad, bust in on them while they're having sex. And if they're hitting that woman, and it's only guys.
You know what? I think you're actually making a good point because that is really weird.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why did we have that detail? It didn't make much sense to me.
Why wouldn't they show him beating her at a different time?
Yeah.
Like, when he shushed, like, remember when she shushed him
at
the funeral?
Yeah, like that.
Hit her then.
Or, like,
well, don't hit
have
women.
A scene.
Don't hit her, but, like, if you're a bad guy.
Have a scene after that where it's like, you don't undermine me. But instead, we get, like, they had just had sex, and she's looking away, and then, bum, bum, she turns to the camera. There's blood on her face.
It was a little weird.
What the fuck?
So I guess what we're saying is, as a bad guy, they wanted to show how bad he was. I feel like that was a confusing way to do it. I think I agree with you, actually, Dan.
Well, then let's talk about the other way they established him as a bad guy at the beginning.
Can you tell us about
the
intro stuff? Oh, my God.
we're going to stay in the middle of the film and wait for everybody to catch up.
Yeah, stay in the middle of the film and not talk about the beginning or the end? You motherfucker. Tell us about the stagecoach and then tell us about what dumb shit you want to talk about.
So the film begins with Mads Mikkelsen. He's receiving his wife and child.
Can we talk about Mads for a second?
Yeah, go for it.
So he's at the train station, right?
Yeah.
He hasn't seen his wife and child for a long time.
Hmm.
What is his reaction?
His reaction to seeing his wife and child for the first time?
In 7 years.
How else would you react besides the way he reacted, which is stare blankly into their souls?
Yes, like he's waiting for another train to pick him up, or he seems so bored by his family. And I don't know if it's just Mads Mikkelsen doesn't know how to smile, like he was never taught how to smile. He's such an intimidating, scary dude, and he does a villain really, really well. But playing a good guy, his face doesn't move. His face is made of stone, and I just don't know if he has the capability of, like, wincing or showing his teeth. And I guess it's supposed to show him as, like, he's a very hard man. He's been in the war.
This is going to be a funny running theme throughout the entire show, because that's basically all he does.
Yes.
For the entire movie.
For the entire film. Even when he's crying, he's just like stone-faced and like a single tear.
Everything bad happens to him and he's just like, yeah.
They have assistants come by and give him the emotion on his face while he's just not moving. You know, they just like wee wee, and then do a little oil that drips down his face. He's like the Tin Man. He forgets how to move every now and again and they gotta grease him up. I know we're shitting on him hard, but I also liked him in this movie. Like, I don't think he did a bad job. I don't know. It's weird, right? Like, how did you feel?
I feel the exact same way.
How weird is that? That he can just not emote the entire film when we're like, we're fine with it. Like, what the fuck? I think it's just because I have Mads Mikkelsen bias. I think it's because
I think that's
so
what
much.
It is, too. I mean, I like watching him, even though I can't understand him half the time. He kind of nailed the Western accent in this one, though. I was able to understand him quite a bit.
Okay. In Mads Mikkelsen's defense, so when I watched him in Hannibal, the first three episodes, I had no idea what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get used to his accent, it's really cool. Like, I like him a lot. Like, yeah. I can understand everything.
You're racist against Danish people.
Yes. No, I'm just saying some people have accents that are hard to understand. And then you get used to it, and then it makes total sense.
Are we going to talk about the stagecoach?
Yeah. You're right. Stagecoach.
So they load up the son and the mom into the stagecoach with this wonderful Spanish couple.
Yep.
And then the Spanish couple gets extradited from the stagecoach. They're like, hey, you got to leave.
In a pretty nice way. They're like, sorry, ma'am.
But it doesn't make any sense that they had to leave other than to bring up this new conflict, because the new conflict is there's these two guys that have been let out of jail, apparently, and they're fucking drunk as hell, and they have to share the stagecoach with Mads Mikkelsen and his wife and child. And one thing leads to another, and then the wife is being felt up, and then Mads Mikkelsen has a gun pointed to his face.
And he gets the upper hand, but then his dumb son gets in the way and gets kidnapped.
His dumb son gets kidnapped and gets murdered. Murdered son. Yeah.
It was sad. It made me real sad. Because he was going to teach his son hunting, and I'm like, I know none of that's going to happen. He's like, we're all going to have a great life together on the farm. I'm like, no, you're not. This is going to be bad. This is a very predictable film, but not really in a bad way.
Well, it services what it needs to service. It's like a run-of-the-mill Western, like you said.
Yes, exactly. Here's the thing. So, Mads Mikkelsen gets revenge because he gets thrown into the stagecoach. He gets revenge on the two guys that killed his fucking son and his wife. It's the Old West. Of course he's going to fucking shoot these dudes dead, right?
Yes.
I don't like how later on in the film, the mayor and the sheriff and all of them, they're all like giving him shit for killing these dudes. He's like, because you didn't show mercy. People have to die. Like, people died in our town now, and it's like blaming it on him. Like, it isn't the villain's fault for being the villain. I was like, who's tricked by this? Like, come on, this is dumb. Because since the villain's brother died, he goes to all the villagers and he's like, hey guys, you better figure out who killed my brother in 2 hours. And if you don't, you better bring two village people. And if
young man,
and I'm gonna shoot the village people. Yeah, I know, right? And So they do that, and they bring them the old woman and a cripple, a guy with no legs, and he shoots them both. He shoots an old lady, and you're like, okay, I get it. You're the bad guy. Holy shit! Like, what the fuck?
First of all, no, wait a minute. He shoots a cripple first, and then we're like, wow, we get it, you're terrible, you're a terrible person.
Yeah,
then he shoots an old lady, and then we're like, yeah, we get it, you're terrible, jeez man, chill. And then he's like, no, that wasn't enough, I gotta shoot one more person. So what does he do?
He shoots some random healthy guy,
and then he's like, you gave me piss poor shit and it was lacking. So now,
He said, I wanted to shoot like people who weren't old and handicapped.
That's not what he said, but that's basically what he said. I mean, come on. He's a Western villain with a little tiny bit of personality, so he's going to say something along the lines of, that wasn't healthy enough.
I'll be a huckleberry. I think that's what he said, right? And it's like, okay, movie, we get it. He's a super duper bad guy. But the thing I was interested in about this character and the wife of the brother, who I guess is Princess.
Yes.
Because she has a whole side story, too. They both have dealings with the Indians.
Yes.
So the villain went off to fight the Indians when he was younger, and that changed him. It kind of, people were saying, hey, that kind of drove him crazy. If they would have played that up more about like how he's gone insane, like how he's lost his mind when he went and fought the Indians, or is something, or had like more of a connection with them or whatever, that would have been way, you know, it'd be interesting. And then they made the other character, Princess, she was kidnapped by the Indians and had her tongue cut out, so she doesn't talk the entire film. So it's like, it's hard for her to get anything across because she's just kind of standing around looking mad all the time. But you at least get the sense that she doesn't like the villain, at the very least. I don't even know if she liked her husband, to be honest, because he seemed like a not great guy.
A womanizer.
How did you feel about the whole side plot with her trying to steal the money?
It was inconsequential. Like, it could have been there, it could have not been there, and I wouldn't have batted an eye. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so like, she tries to betray the bad guy and steal some money and gets on a train, but of course she gets caught. I don't know how men on horses stop a train, but apparently in this film, men on horses can stop a moving train. Go figure. I don't know. Maybe you had to be there. Or maybe it's because they knew who it was and they're like, oh, we better stop this train because it's super duper bad guy. So I think that scene was only there just to give the main character Mads some time to heal up after he was kidnapped.
Right.
It just felt like there was a lot of little things that didn't matter. Like how the mayor was buying up the deeds of everyone's houses and selling them to the
bad
guy.
So basically there's a plot in this movie that we don't necessarily care about because we just want the shooty shooty bang bangs.
It really doesn't matter. There's a whole oil thing about like they want the land for
and
the
like
oil.
It just everything so
it didn't need any
what's
of that.
Funny is okay, so this film has like a pretty enriching plot that's only hinted at throughout the entire film.
Yeah, it's ignored by the actual movie. It's super weird.
But if you, okay, again, if you had 2.5 hours rather than 1.5 hours, probably you would have had more scenes like that because there's a shitload of Westerns that like tell stories like that over and over and over again. But like, it's just, it's very serviceable to cut everything just to get that 1 hour and 30 minute mark to make your film more marketable.
Yeah. I don't know. Like while I was watching it, none of this bothered me. But now thinking about it, it's like weird.
So would you recommend this movie?
If you're starved for a Western, yes. I don't think it's a bad film.
I don't think it's a bad film either. But we keep shitting on it. Even though
yeah,
we why?
Liked it. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, let's talk about the ending.
Well, there's... Okay, so...
Or any scene you want to talk about, Dan.
Basically the ending. We talked about everything mostly. Except for like, you know...
Mostly.
We have Mads Mikkelsen. He has to kill people. What the hell?
What a novel idea. So we got a Mads Mikkelsen. He's in a Western. He's got to kill people. I'm sold. I like the music in this movie. It's probably one of the stronger areas of the film. It's sad because the music only kicks in at a few different points where you're like, oh, this is fucking cool. And it really kicks in at the end. The ending music is good. I liked it. And the sad part is that it goes away. Like, halfway during the fight, you're like, what the fuck? No, keep the music. This music is awesome.
Right.
And I really liked the cat and mouse and the cool shit that they do at the end. So, the young kid shopkeeper...
He's like, you can't do this alone. I want to do it with you, even though I'm probably going to die because I'm inexperienced. So,
yeah,
he dies because he's inexperienced, but he does some cool stuff.
It was really sad. I didn't want that kid to die. I was like, come on, movie. Oh, we also should mention that, so Mads gets kidnapped, and his brother comes to save him.
Yes.
And that's like his big redemption moment, because earlier it's been established that the brother like doesn't want to help anybody, or doesn't like to rush into danger. So he saves his brother, but he also gets kidnapped and killed. So the character I like the most in this movie gets killed. He's not even there for the final shootout, which was pretty lame. In revenge, once Mads gets all healed up, he eats a sensu bean, and he's like, I'm better. He teams up with the young kid who had his grandma killed. The young kid sets a fire at the... Oh, I liked that the base of the villains was a burned-down town.
Right.
So there's some subtext in the film that you actually have to do a little thinking to be like, oh, that's kind of cool. Because the whole reason they wanted that town was for the oil, right?
Right.
So that means they scared off everyone in that town, or killed them, just to get the oil. And I'm like, whoa, that's kind of crazy that, like, that's their home base. And the only place that's left is the bank, which they probably robbed. So I was like, oh, that's neat. So I like those little details of, like, there's story here, but we're not going to tell you. You're going to have to figure it out yourself. So little kid sets the fire. He starts shooting as a distraction. And then Mads sets their barn on fire, which is where all the horses are.
Right.
Then he hides underneath... another burned down house, so that whenever anyone runs to the barn to let the horses out, he shoots them. And I'm like, this is fucking great. This is really cool. And he's just sniping them real good with his army training. There's like a little scene where he's like fighting a dude.
Basically, they find out that he's underneath the thing, and then one of the henchmen looks in the hole, like, with his eyeball really wide.
Yeah, like, as
and then
you
he gets,
do.
He gets, yeah, and then gets stabbed in the eyeball, and you're like, wow, that was awesome.
I actually said that. I went, wow, that was awesome.
Yes.
I didn't say that. So, my favorite scene of the movie. Bad guys are in the bad guy room in the house, and the princess is tied up. And the guy's like, hey, there's a dude up on the roof. We hear him walking around, right? And the other guy's like, okay, you should shoot him. So he starts shooting up. and they fire, you know, a bunch of bullets up there to get him. And they're like, yeah, we got him. And then this liquid starts pouring out of the holes. And I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome. And it's gasoline. And the dude is smoking a cigar while he was shooting. And it gets on the cigar, lights him on fire. And he's dancing around on fire. And the whole room catches on fire. I'm like, that was really fucking cool.
And then the other bad guy shows some mercy and then shoots him in the face.
And it's like, this should have been more of the film. Like, cool shit like this should have been happening all the time.
Right.
Like, what the hell? Because it was such an awesome idea. I don't know. It's just like they saved it all for the end. Like, and the rest was just kind of all build up, I guess. The showdown with the villain was pretty predictable.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Mads has been shot by the villain. The villain's like, you know, we're not so different, you and I. I mean, he doesn't say that, but he might as well say it with his eyes.
And then... And then Princess shows up with another shotgun and shoots him in the back.
Yeah, shoots him, yes. And it's like, we all saw that coming. That was super obvious. We have a weird scene at the end where the sheriff finally shows up with guys, and he's like, hey, we're here to help. Oh, you killed them all. Okay. I like the idea of if the sheriff and the townspeople just stood up for themselves... along with the two people who actually know how to fight, the gunslingers, you know, the guys who are in the war, the main characters, they could have probably stopped this. I mean, some people would have died, but people are already dying, and they could have stopped them. But instead, they were just very submissive and complacent in the killings, which was, they should have played on that more. You know what I mean? Like, letting some people die for the greater good. It's like, how do these people feel about, like, their loved ones
basically
dying?
I don't know. The more I think about it and the more you're talking about the characteristics of this film and what is happening in plot lines and whatnot, if you want to see a better Western with a lot of the same general themes, it's a Clint Eastwood movie from the 70s. It's called High Plains Drifter. That film does everything that you're asking it to do.
Oh, okay.
And it's Clint Eastwood.
So, yeah, I don't know if I was just starved for a Western, and that's why I'm like, yeah, this was good.
I liked it. I mean, it was...
It's not a bad movie.
But there's just so much to pick apart. The more you analyze it, the more you realize that this is just a popcorn flick, really.
Yes.
It's like, just turn your brain off, watch the shooty shooty bang bangs, and then enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree. It's good, just don't compare it to other Westerns. Because once you start doing that, you're kind of like, I don't
then you're
know.
Like, man, I really want to watch Once Upon a Time in the West. Once Upon a Time?
Once Upon a Time? Fuck. Holy shit.
I don't know what happened to my mouth. It just kind of petered off for a second there. And just,
Petered off, huh? Okay.
I'll peter you off.
Oh, well. So I think that's it. I don't know if we recommend this movie now. It's, I don't know. Watch it if you're bored. It's pretty good. It's not bad. There's nothing inherently bad about it.
Or you could go watch High Plains Drifter.
Seriously, yeah. Or you could go watch Tombstone, the movie I referenced earlier. There's a lot of other Westerns that are fucking badass. You can go watch Django if you want.
Django!
And I'm talking about the original Django, yes. Okay? Where he's carrying around a coffin.
That one is awesome. And not to mention, like, this, it feels like this Western references all the other Westerns, you know what I mean? Like, there were just nods to everything.
Yes, that's what it is. It's just like, hey, we remember what a classic Western is, here you go. And then they put in some, like, a little bit of grit. Like, they sprinkle it with grit. They're like, here's some grit. Ooh, yeah. Anyways, hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. I love each and every one of you. And I think about you all the time, and you're all in a special book that I carry with me, and I read your full names out loud, and I close my eyes, and I imagine you doing the thing that you love the most, and I'm hoping that's happening for you right now. You can reach us at Facebook at https://www.facebook.com/indiefilmreview/modal=admin_2do_tour.
Jesus.
You can reach us at Facebook at Indie Film Review. You can reach us at Twitter at Indie Film Pod.
Instagram, the Indie Film Review Pod.
Yes, on Instagram. At Gmail, if you want to email us or Gmail us. It's theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. That's with the. And Podbean is always our host, our home away from home, indiefilmreview.podbean.com.
Find us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars.
There it is. We did it. Another great episode for the family. Besides all that rape we talked about.
Yeah.
Dan, you have the final word.
Bang, bang.
Ooh, that was sexy.